Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Relevant Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
And welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Sheila Beingessner. And Sheila comes to us from St. Joseph Radio and is involved with the project that St. Joseph Radio does every year in tandem with the Diocese of Orange called the Catholic Man of the Year. Welcome, Sheila, back to our program.
Thank you, Rick. Welcome for having me.
We have you about this time every year to talk a little bit about this event in particular. Before we begin, let's begin with a word of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, we ask you to be with us, helping us to do your will. And in the spirit of St. Joseph, we ask you to come to us so that even though he was silent, we may not be. That even though he has no words in Scripture, we might echo what we know he gave to our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of a father and the inspiration to be a full man before the Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.
Amen.
The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And then in full disclosure, I have been involved with St. Joseph Radio for about two decades now. And I know that people that are involved in this broadcast, including our technical director, Jim, has been involved with St. Joseph Radio longer than me. So it's a long-term project in the Diocese of Orange that St. Joseph Radio has been going on. And it's not even now located as its primary residence in Orange anymore. A few years ago, it moved its primary residence to the middle of the United States, but it keeps a presence here. Tell us, Sheila, before we get into Catholic Man of the Year, a little bit about St. Joseph Radio. What is its mission? What does it do?
Well, I've always thought that the primary mission, and when I first became involved, was educating the Catholic in the pew. Because a lot of times we can be Catholic and don't get a lot of adult education past our confirmation. Now, I'm a convert, and I didn't become a Catholic until I was 30, but I did do some exploring once I had a little conversion experience in discovering Christ. So I kind of just kept up an education, and I was actually chose the Catholic Church after about 3 years of going to Bible study and studying, you know, the Scriptures, and decided Catholicism is where I wanted to celebrate the fullness of the faith that I had discovered. But it was like 10 years after that I really got even deeper and discovered the full magisterial beauty of our Catholic Church.
See, this
and
is
that was with St. John Paul II.
See, this is something that always has fascinated me about converts, I being one of them.
Yes.
Is that when you're in, like, Protestantism, which no denigrating Protestantism, they love Jesus, that's a good thing. But there's a false understanding amongst many of them about the Catholic Church being sterile, the Catholic Church being ritual-bound, the Catholic Church somehow being without the Holy Spirit, working directly with them. And those of us who have discovered the Catholic Church have had our experience with Christ expanded beyond what we had experienced in our Protestant days. And again, it's not to denigrate the Protestants, but there is an unfolding of the faith in Catholicism, and as you put it, in the magisterium of the Church, in the complete teaching office of the Church, complete being a very key word here, that I hear over and over and over again from people like you who have converted over.
And you know, Rick, it's sort of a little bit of why we established Man of the Year, and that is because that term fatherhood and the magisterium of the Church is sort of emulating that fatherhood, that protection, the guidance, the stability that we need as the body of Christ.
St. Joseph Radio, then, how did that figure in for you? Because somewhere along the line, you linked up with a woman named Lucille Cortese, who was in the process of putting together this group. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Well, it was just about the time when the Catechism of the Catholic Church came out, a little before that, but I had was asked to attend Magnificat Breakfast, which is a group of women that get together and they have a speaker. And the speaker was Carol Everett, who used to be work in the abortion industry and had converted and became Catholic and a huge pro-life advocate. So I sat and listened to her story, and it was just amazing. And I've always loved to hear witness stories. So that was just amazing. But I sat right next to Lou Cortese, but I didn't know. I thought it was just accidental, but someone had told her to sit next to me. They said she's really, really enthusiastic about her faith.
Meaning
and
you.
Yeah, me. And so you need to sit next to her because she always was looking for volunteers who were excited about Catholicism.
Now, Lou had founded St. Joseph Radio a few years before that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it actually had bought broadcast time back in those days over the air in Los Angeles on radio stations. And this is before we had Catholic radio out here. There was a brief time, I know, when we had a Catholic radio station for a short time out in Los Angeles, and we used some of the time there, too. But generally speaking, we had a two-hour broadcast, and we would have people live on the air for the 2 hours taking questions over the air. I was one of the hosts that were involved at the time, and you met Lou Cortese, who was putting this all on mm-hmm. at the time.
And she had put me in charge of the speaker's bureau. When she had a speaker, I would try to find a parish to host that speaker and get that message of a lot of times it was conversion stories, but other times it was on topics like some of the encyclicals that might have been, and even on the Catholic catechism that came out. But I remember discovering also our beautiful Pope, John Paul II, and I read Veritatis Splendor. There was a lot I read. Humani Vitae really touched me, but that was even before I had met Lou. But that touched me about the wisdom of the magisterium.
Veritatis Splendor, the splendor of truth, is about morality.
Yes, and about what is happening with the false philosophies of the world. It was so amazing. I can't believe when people say that these things are hard to read. Yes, you have to take your time reading them and digesting them, but your brain almost explodes with the knowledge that you're getting, and you go, oh, it's like light bulbs going off saying, oh, I understand now. I understand why the church teaches this, why the church proclaims this, why in her wisdom this is necessary, because we are getting bombarded today with secularism and leftism and socialism and stuff that just is not compatible. And that's what Veritatis Splendor said. There are some good things in some of these isms, but this is where they differ in Christianity, and where we need to stand up. And this whole thing on manhood is what has been prevalent the whole time I've been involved with more deeper study within the Catholic Church. And I've just decided that really good, faithful Catholics who try to live what the Church teaches and what Christ has entrusted, we would be such great witnesses. It is a massive giant out there. I mean, it could be the best voting bloc our country could have. But we're a little divided right now, and that's why St. Joseph Radio was really trying to educate the Catholic in the pew, because there's been some underlining things even within our Catholicism, as in so many of the Protestant churches that have fallen apart because of it. What is right? What is wrong? What is what really the church teaches? What does really Christ teach? It's very confusing, and there can be some very persuasive arguments to the wrong.
So St. Joseph Radio grew up here in the Diocese of Orange.
Yes.
A few years back, it then moved its primary residence to St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes.
And it still operates there in a very, it's really cool to walk into their little storefront, because they're in the corner of a storefront, you have no idea what you're walking into because it's just the corner. But then, of course, it expands this triangle out there.
They keep buying different buildings next to it, so it's like
on the right,
a maze.
You've got a bookstore, and then you've got this coffee shop. And down the hall is a television studio where they keep getting donations. The Fox News station down in the area, they donated all of their equipment they replaced. So they have a very good television studio because their equipment had been replaced. And on the left side, as you walk in, they have this radio studio. And it's absolutely wonderful to see. I've had the privilege of being able to broadcast from there from time to time. But they're not only doing radio, they're doing internet, they're doing video, they're doing internet stations. It's the now St. Joseph Evangelization mm-hmm. Network.
They have their own TV station.
They do.
SJEN TV. And they're on Roku.
Yes, they're on Roku. And SJEN TV mm-hmm. is a very powerful group. It's a very powerful network now.
Yes, 24 hours
we
of
have,
Catholic programming.
We have some dioceses who offer material from their diocese to be recorded on by St. Joseph Radio, and then that is put back out there to people who want to view it. It's a great organization, and it's been around for a long time. But it started here in the Diocese of Orange, and it maintains its presence both in the Archdiocese of St. Louis and in the Diocese of Orange. So Lou had you involved with the Speakers Bureau. I had been involved with you in the Speakers Bureau because I had been a convert from Protestant. I'd finished my preparation to become a Presbyterian minister and was working on another master's degree in early church history and converted to being a Catholic, which, as I like to say, kind of ruined your career as a Presbyterian minister. But look at me now. So I got to know you many years ago,
yes.
And it has been wonderful to see how this has all unfolded in my life and in yours.
The day you walked into the office, Rick. I remember.
Another story.
Very exciting.
But you no longer do much with the Speakers Bureau. Now you're focused almost entirely on Catholic Man of the Year. In a nutshell, in a minute, what is Catholic Man of the Year?
Well, it's an event that takes place once a year, and we try to get all the parishes within the diocese or Catholic organizations to nominate a man that they feel emanates the traits and values of St. Joseph. He's the saint for the protection of the family, the protection of the church, and St. Joseph the worker. I mean, he's got a lot of different things. So it's kind of like manhood all wrapped up in one.
And these are individual parishes, Catholic organizations like Knights of Columbus.
Yes. Or
other Catholic-based groups or organizations that come together, and each of them has their own Man of the Year.
Yeah, they kind of nominate their Man of the Year, and we treat them, all the nominees that are coming together, as the people that nominated them, the organization, as their Man of the Year, because he truly is. And all of the men that are nominated get trophies, get certificates, and pictures of the bishop giving them this certificate, and lots of little goodies that we give them. And their stories are now being able to be gathered and hopefully published into a book.
And then there's one of them that's chosen to be the Man of the Year for the diocese.
For the diocese, to represent the diocese.
When we come back, I want to get into a little bit more about some of these people. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and with me today is Sheila Beingessner from St. Joseph Radio, who, in tandem with the Diocese of Orange, she's involved with Catholic Man of the Year. And we'll be right back.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org. The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus, are here to assist you and your family through this transition, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the beautiful Christ Cathedral campus. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102.
And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, on the grounds of Christ Cathedral Campus. And with me today is Sheila Beingessner. And Sheila has been a friend of mine for many years, working at St. Joseph Radio. And in working with St. Joseph Radio, which was homegrown here in the Diocese of Orange, she is now involved with organizing the Catholic Man of the Year for the Diocese of Orange through St. Joseph Radio. And this is an event that takes the nominations of whatever parishes decide to participate. Usually we have between 20 and 30 or so that participate in this. Most of the time they buy a table, so this is like 20 or 30 tables. So you're talking an event by the time we're done that evening where they give everything out. There's about 200 to 300 people involved with that dinner. Yes. It's huge.
Yes.
And each one of them, therefore, has an honoree. Each one of them has someone they're honoring. And the people they honor aren't just these outstanding heroes of Catholic faith. Some of these are rather unsung heroes.
Sometimes, they're this hidden figure sometimes within a parish.
And I'd like to get into that in just a moment, because it's not just the ultimate winner of the Catholic Man of the Year. We've got some wonderful people who have won. There's a doctor who is a pediatrician who has been throughout the world with Doctors Without Borders and has written books on children's mental health and mother's mental health, and is a great doctor. He, of course, would be one of these Catholic heroes, but we've had other people who've been nominated that you wouldn't necessarily describe the same way, but yet are like St. Joseph, very silent.
They might not be as worldly, Rick, but when you get all of these nominee forms and read them, our judges have a very hard time, because we can see why they are men of the year of the parish or the organization that they were nominated from. And so that's why we treat them all as men of the year. Only one we select out of that bunch that happens to touch the hearts of all the judges, because we do a numbering system and the Holy Spirit just works. Everybody's impressed, but it seems like somehow when we add the figures up from all the different columns, one will stand out. Sometimes it's only a point or two higher than the other, but we do just literally have to draw the line. And I say, I'm not involved with the judging, but when I have to do the counting, I really am diligent with my husband. He's a tax accountant, and so he helps me make sure I don't make any numerical mistakes.
You have an accountant check your figures.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm a little dyslexic sometimes. But we double-check it. We have the tape from the Addy machine that has the tape, so we can double-check. And sometimes it's just a point or two, but we honor that's the one that the Holy Spirit wanted to honor that year.
Tell me a little bit about some of these people who've been nominated in the past. Not necessarily the ultimate winners, though some of them are obviously fascinating.
Yeah, they're all fascinating.
But tell me a couple of stories of some of the people that individual parishes have nominated.
Well, there's one that really hits me, and that's, we had done an advertisement in the Catholic newspaper, and this gentleman read it, and he was involved in a group of parents that get together helping their child that has autism. And it was started by a gentleman, the man who called. He called me personally on the phone to see more about this and what he do. And I said, yes, we have to get this man nominated. And it was just a small group of people, parents, that were exposed to this particular problem. And this gentleman, because he had an autistic child and could not find support in his church to how to help him get his child ready for First Communion, for, you know, confirmation, because their autism can be different levels.
Right.
And he really wanted his child to go through this. So he started, the church sent him others that needed help because he had gone through all of, even if it was just financial help through the city or whatever, he had to research all this. Right. So he was sharing this with other parents. And bless his heart, he and his family just went all out for all of the families, and they were so dependent. But it was like a support group for them. And this man wanted to honor him because of his initiative in starting this. He saw the love that this man had, not just for his son, but for all families that were going through a family crisis of some sort. So, because you're not always expecting this when you have a baby.
So let's talk for a moment. Autism is a broad spectrum of problems, and there's a number of different types of autism and a number of different severities.
Yes.
And I had a privilege most of the time of having worked with autistics when I first got out of college. I did special education, and some of these were very severe. The primary problem with autistics is that they will be so focused on their inner world that they can't function well with the outer world. So it's very difficult sometimes to get some of them to focus in on what you need them to learn about different things. If they are severe, there's not much that can be done with them. If they are not severe, there's a lot that can be done, but it takes a lot of patience and diligence and time, and it can be exhausting.
But also the parents themselves learn and grow and just develop their parenthood so much if they can have a support group.
So this,
and that's what happened. These
so this
people
man
were,
put together a support group for other Catholic parents who were trying to go through the process of getting their children through the sacraments in order to embrace Christ more completely, mm-hmm. and yet fully understand as much as an autistic child can, of which many of them can understand an awful lot, but they need the patience mm-hmm. and specialty in order to get there.
Yes.
And that's what he helped provide.
Yeah, and it was a small group, and they really, I wanted to make sure that group was able to attend, and financially it was very hard. So I looked to find a sponsor for that table. I found one, a very generous gentleman, who said, yes, he'll buy the table and allow the parents that would fit around a table of 10 to 11 to come and help support this gentleman in what they wanted. They wanted to see him recognized. And so they did. They were special. I had the opportunity to meet their sons, because a lot of them brought their sons or daughters that were autistic. And it was just a special time to realize that the St. Joseph figure that we're looking for doesn't have to be a humongous church leader. There's many of those that are very well qualified, and we need to honor them. Mm-hmm. But we also want to find those silent St. Josephs that go about doing the best they can, not just for their family, but for others' families and for the church. It was so, so refreshing for me.
A lot of people don't realize when you're talking about St. Joseph that he has no quotes anywhere in Scripture. Not once is he quoted saying anything. He receives visions and he does a lot. But it's precisely that he doesn't talk back. He does act faithfully. He does try to do the right thing. He does succeed in doing the right thing. That St. Joseph clearly was a good pick by God for Jesus' foster father,
yes.
And a good example for the type of man that we're looking for when we're trying to say this person emulates St. Joseph.
Sometimes I tell people when they're saying, well, who do we look for? What are you looking for? And I said, a good place to start is just talking with the pastor, if you're looking at someone from the parish, and just have him say, who are the people that you really always depend on when you need to get something done? It could be like setting up a room, setting the chairs up in a room, or getting this organized or getting that. For some reason, those are the kind of the quiet St. Josephs that are just there to help out the pastor. They're there to help out the church. I know when I was at my parish, the first parish that I was in, I was doing Bible study or help, you know, I wasn't doing the Bible study, but I was organizing the group. So I would get there early, set the chairs up, get the babysitter, comfortable and all that. And a gentleman after the third week stopped me and said, Sheila, can I do that for you? I'll come early and I'll set the chairs up. I'll get a couple of men and come. He didn't want me to have to do all of it. And bless his heart, that to me, I just said, oh, what a great St. Joseph man you are. I mean, I said it without thinking, but that's what I thought of him. I thought he was such a sweet man to notice a need and do it. And it left me more time to do other things, which was good for the group. I just think of those men as the St. Josephs. They don't want to be recognized necessarily. And that's sometimes the hard part, is to get them to accept the nominee. But I tell them, you have to be humble enough to let others see how God works through even the smallest person or the biggest person to get them motivated to help out in the church. We are his hands and legs and arms. That's how he gets us.
That certainly can be an important problem, because a lot of these men you're talking about, they're very quiet men, they're humble men. I've known a number of men who are very good men who they would melt if you told them they were going to go up on stage and receive an award for what they're doing. No way. There's no way I want to do that. But yet it's almost unfair if they don't.
Yes, because we don't have role models. I tell them, we don't need any more sports figures as role models. We don't need any more rock stars as role models. They don't seem to stay up on that platform very long. We need good Catholic, good Christian role models for our men and our young boys to see.
Well, and that's such an important and timely point behind this movement of trying to emulate St. Joseph and declaring that a Catholic man of the year is to be in the echo of St. Joseph, to be in the footsteps of St. Joseph. Because in our time right now, men are under attack. We men are being told that our masculinity is toxic, or that we are, just because of our nature, we're already a problem for a number of people and a number of groups and a number of perspectives in our society. And sometimes the worst aspects of what some human beings will do get stereotyped into what men are being accused of being all the time. And unfortunately, it has created a problem of male identity.
Yes.
Men don't know how to be a man. They don't know how to be truly holy and masculine at the same time, how to be a man of God bravely and yet without lording over anyone's head. How do I function as a Catholic Christian? And it has created, I think, a crisis of maleness in our society. And so I am thrilled to have you on to talk about Catholic Man of the Year and it being in the echo of St. Joseph. Sheila, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the people that have gone through this process. And then I want to make sure that we've had a chance to discuss how people can nominate and the nuts and bolts of where they would go to find the information.
Yes.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today is Sheila Beingessner, who is involved with St. Joseph Radio. And she specifically is the point person for putting together Catholic Man of the Year for St. Joseph Radio and the Diocese of Orange. And that will be coming up in March 24th, I believe. And we will have Bishop Fryer, I believe, is going to be there, Bishop Tim Fryer. And he will be giving out the actual award for Catholic Man of the Year. And we'll talk more about who those men are when we come back.
Academic rigor and excellence are at the heart of private Catholic education. In 2016, 8 Diocese of Orange schools were awarded the highest U.S. Department of Education distinction through the No Child Left Behind Act Blue Ribbon School Program. The program honors public and private K-12 schools that are academically superior in their states or demonstrate dramatic gains in student achievement. Learn more. Visit OCCatholicSchoolsWeek.com.
Showing for one night only at a theater near you. A story about the devastating consequences of the sexual revolution and one father's quest for answers.
Have you seen the videos and Instagram posts and ads that young women are fed these days? It's craziness.
From writer-director Don Johnson, a new documentary that uncovers the truth about how we got here.
The gist of Cosmo was hard work and Sex Without the Kids will set you free.
Unprotected, featuring stories and insight from some of today's most articulate Catholic thinkers, including Christopher West and Jennifer Fulweiler. Tickets available now at unprotectedmovie.com.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Sheila Beingessner, and we've been talking about St. Joseph Radio's Catholic Man of the Year, which is done every year with the in tandem with the Diocese of Orange. And we've always had the Bishop's Office involved with this. Bishop Tim Fryer will be at this event. This takes place as a dinner, as the final actual, the culmination of this takes place as a dinner on March 24th. And tell us a little bit, what is that going to be? Where is it going to be? What's going to happen?
Well, this year we're changing from Saturday to a Sunday.
Oh, good.
The Missouri office always has theirs on Sunday. Okay. They've started a few years after us. I think they're in their fifth or sixth year.
Okay.
And this is our 14th year.
Wow.
And so we're going to do the Sunday because we can start earlier and then get out at 10, which is still a reasonable time. And we want to spoil them. We always give our men a very delicious dinner, mm-hmm. and it was beginning to be a little too costly to have it on a Saturday. We could keep it on a Sunday and still have the same meal,
okay.
which was enticing to us. We don't want to cut down the amount that we spoil our men.
Good Catholics
are
being thrifty.
Yes. So it just seemed that was a good time to start earlier and at a reasonable time so that everybody can get to bed. And it's going to be at the Anaheim Marriott Suites, which is very similar to the same place that we had. It's the same address, but just right behind the big building that the big hotel that was there. There's a hotel right in back of that.
The Anaheim Marriott Suites, mm-hmm. which is on Harbor Boulevard here.
Yes.
In Garden.
12015 Harbor Boulevard. And the tickets are $100 each. It includes everything, the meal. It includes the awards program. We have a social hour before, and we have a silent auction that everybody can take place. And we have some great items that you can really get at a reasonable price, and it's just fun for everybody.
So it culminates in that, and again, Bishop Fryer will be giving out all of the awards to all of the individual men from the individual parishes and organizations. And then he'll also give out the award to the Catholic Man of the Year.
The diocesan one, yes.
We were talking a little bit about these different people who've been involved with this. And you were mentioning the one person who had put together the organization that helped autistic children go through their Catholic sacraments. Who else has inspired you or comes to mind when we talk about, gosh, that was a great example of a Catholic Man of the Year?
Yeah. Not in such detail, but I've remembered several that as they went, that evening, we just kind of capsulize the story or the highlights of a man as he's walking up to get his certificate. We certainly can't read the whole application to them. So we just kind of capsulize everything. And I remember the responses, or at least the response of one that literally was just shocked out of his shoes. It took him a second to even get out of his chair and walk up to receive the award. And I remember talking to him, and he said, after listening to all of those men be announced, it's the farthest thing from my mind that I would ever be selected from that group of men. That's what how great the group is. But that goes to show you that you just don't know when our judges are going through these applications. Something stuck out about his either what makes him do his motivation, because we ask him what motivates the men to do what they do, what's their inspiration, who inspired them as a child. And sometimes those little answers to some of the questions really hit a soft part in someone's heart that says, yes, that's what it's about. His grandmother or his grandfather was that glue or that role model that gave him the inspiration to continue. Not just to stop after confirmation, forget about it until you had a family, and then start taking your faith seriously again. Sometimes it's just the conversion story of somebody that was not Catholic and became Catholic, and how diligently and involved they became afterwards. So it's sometimes it's a cradle Catholic that's been Catholic from the get-go, from day one, and it's always been, went all the way through altar boys and Knights of Columbus and all that. But they just, their heart was always strong for God. And that's kind of what I think our judges look for, is that relationship to Jesus and his church. Not just that it's, and don't take me wrong, but it's not like just because they're a do-gooder, or like some people say, oh, Catholics always feel like works gets them to heaven. And that's not what, that's not the motivation for these men. Right. Let me tell you, when you read these things, they have, that's not the least of their problems, because they're very active men in their business and in their lives and in their church, and they still do these extra things for the church that are voluntaries. They're not getting paid. They do this out of the goodness of their hearts and the love of the church.
Let's talk about the process then. First of all, when is the deadline for a parish or an organization to submit their application?
Okay, this year we'll be starting, we've already started our application process January 7th. We're sending out invitations, formal invitations, and they have until March 9th to get the application, but that is the latest. The earlier they get it in, the better, because I have to prepare them for judging.
Well, and there might be something that's not quite right or missing. Well, you want to be able to get
that clarified. Too. And you can always call the office. Let me give you a phone number that if they have any questions at all, there's two. One's a local number and one's the Missouri office. One is 714-744-0336. And the Missouri office is 636-446-6000.
But make sure either if you call one, the Missouri office, you're going to want to make sure you specify this is for
California. Yeah, not the Orange. But if you can't get through on the Orange County line that goes into directly to the Missouri office, Missouri's going to answer, but they're going to know right away. Just tell them you're calling to get information about the California Man of the Year.
Okay.
And then they'll know which information you get. You can download, you can go to our website, the St. Joseph website, www.stjosephradio.net.
And that's Saint spelled out S-A-I-N-T.
Yes, spelled out S-A-I-N-T, Joseph spelled out.
Radio, okay? It's a long one.
Yeah, and under, I think, the main line there, the main page, there's, I believe it's like actions or activities. You put your cursor on that in a, what do they call those, a drop box will come down and has Catholic Man of the Year, and you click there.
So that's stjosephradio.net. It's not .com. It's
yes, .net.
So if they get the application, does an individual fill that out, or is this something you need to have the parish priest involved with? How do you go about having a Catholic parish do this?
Okay, so if the parish wants
to... What's the norm?
Yeah, the norm is one of the parish members that goes and asks the priest if he can nominate this person from the parish. It could be the St. Vincent de Paul group, or the Knights of Columbus, or the Italian Catholic Federation. One of the groups within the parish might want to nominate one of their men, the pro-life group or whatever. And so you download the forms. There's a section that the nominee has to fill out. And then there's a section that the sponsor, the person that nominated them, has to fill out. And there's a place on the thing where the pastor has to sign, because it shows us he's a Catholic in good standing, okay, you know, within that parish. Even if it's a St. Vincent de Paul group, they still need to get the pastor to sign.
Okay, so if it's Knights of Columbus, usually that's the pastor, but sometimes they have Knights of Columbus from multiple parishes that come
that's
together.
True, yeah.
So the chaplain for the Knights of Columbus would be able mm-hmm. to sign on that mm-hmm. in that regard.
And we do accept nominees that are deacons, because they still have a large part of their duties being voluntary. And
that's
so
really true.
And some are still working.
Yeah.
Some aren't. Some are retired, but some are still working. And then they do their deacon work, I'll say. But there's other things that they always volunteer to do, too. They're one of those people that the pastor can call on that will always help out if he's available.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, because once a man becomes a deacon, sometimes it's almost as if they have been erased from being laity. And what people forget is that while a deacon has an ordination, It's not the same ordination that a priest has, and they're still considered under canon law with 1 foot in laity and 1 foot in orders. And depending upon which canon you're reading about them, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I did a little study of that, and it's sometimes they're referred to as laity and sometimes referred to as part of the clergy, but they're still volunteers. A lot of people forget that. Unless the deacon actually has been hired to do something for the diocese or for the parish, they're usually not being paid for what they do for the parish. It's just part of being a good Catholic.
Yes, it is.
Who happens to have the authority of being a deacon so they can do some things.
Yeah. Like so we want to have that part of the participation included. And they, when they fill out their paperwork, they can see what we want and what we don't want as far as if it's something that the diocese has assigned you to do versus something that you've volunteered to do.
So if you're looking for as to whether or not you want to nominate somebody, if you've already got somebody in mind that you've seen that, you know, that person really has been doing stuff for around here for a long time, it would be a good idea to recognize them.
Yes. It's a great way to say thank you for just serving the people in your parish.
It would be a good idea to, at that point, call the pastor and have a conversation with the pastor. Can we do this?
I think that's a great idea because the pastor also knows, probably more aware than you are. Yeah. You might see the person doing a lot of things, but he really knows that man a lot better, and he may want to give you some input.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that there was a $100 for the dinner, but most of the time, it's the parish will help pick up the tab. Usually, they work that out, but if they can't afford it, there are some people who will also donate. This is not a pay-to-play type of thing.
No, it's not. But we're offering this $100 really.
It offsets more, the cost.
Oh, 3/4 of it is the cost of the meal.
Yeah.
And it offsets the cost of the trophies that we give them.
Right.
So it's really, you know, you're just participating in helping us pay to celebrate and to give them. That's why each man of the year gets these goodies that we offer, because we want to spoil them. We want to give the parish a chance to thank them, because a parish by themselves would be hard for them to throw a big dinner to celebrate them. And this gives the whole diocese, it helps the whole diocese because they get to meet other men that do things that they get to do. They're all impressed with each other too.
Yeah.
So it gives them some camaraderie.
This is one of the things that stood out for me when I first went to this dinner, is to see that these are parishes across the Diocese of Orange, and they're all celebrating similar things in these men. And that's a powerful message that's sent to some of the other men in the audience, especially some of the children and grandchildren of these men.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today is Sheila Beingessner, and we're talking about Catholic Man of the Year, which is an event that comes up in spring. It's coming up on March 24th of 2019 for this year. And it is where the Diocese of Orange, in collaboration with St. Joseph Radio, honors men that have been nominated from the different parishes and organizations across the Diocese of Orange. And then one in particular is chosen as perhaps the best example for that year, or an outstanding example.
Yeah, an outstanding.
Of the men that are chosen.
Yeah.
And when we come back, I want to be able to talk a little bit more about what this has meant to some of these people. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and we'll be right back.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
In L.A. County, there are more than 28,000 children in foster care. And sadly, every day more children enter the system. But their story doesn't have to end there. Maybe you've been thinking about starting or expanding your family. If so, there's a child in foster care waiting for you. A simple visit to fosterall.org can change the course of a child's life and yours. As a proud partner with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Foster All takes the guesswork out of navigating the foster adopt process and will match you with a foster family agency that suits your needs. Each agency is different, so let Foster All be your guide. Log on to fosterall.org. There's a community of amazing people waiting to support your decision to love a child, and Foster All is right beside you the entire way. Do you have room in your heart and your home for a child? Begin your journey with Foster All today at fosterall.org. That's fosterall.org.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. And before I go any further, I want to make sure, in case I forget, that I thank you, Sheila, for being here. You have been a faithful companion along the journey for me in many ways in my Catholic faith, because I met you in this process not that long after I converted over. And you have been involved with St. Joseph Radio and the Diocese of Orange and Catholic Man of the Year now for several years. And thank you for coming on to talk to our audience about this very special event that takes place. This is a unique opportunity on several levels for parishes and the diocese at large to offer a thank you to some of the men that have been helpful. And when this is done by parishes every year, it gives a chance for the parish to demonstrate a thank you to men who have been involved but often get no thanks. But there are a couple more things that come out on this. You were mentioning during the break how this impacted you one of the first times you saw it.
Yes.
What did this do when you first saw Catholic Man of the Year?
Well, you know, I had been Catholic for a while, obviously. I think it was, I was 30 when I became Catholic. So, you know.
You're 32. 10.
Now. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, no, no. Thank you. Thank you, Rick. So I had been Catholic for at least 15, 16, 17 years before I was involved with this. And I knew a little bit about the Catholic Church, and of course I knew a lot about my parish and the overall structure of the church. I kept learning more about. But that night when I first attended the very first Man of the Year, and I wasn't quite involved with the organization part of it, I was still involved with the speakers and all that at St. Joseph Radio, but I sat there and I saw the two knights that marched the men in.
So they processed in at the
beginning. They processed it. It was absolutely.
Everyone's around goosebumps. The table. They're all standing and they're clapping as
yeah,
these men.
Yeah, and the music, and they just march in, and then they get introduced, and then they sit down, and we all enjoy dinner, and then we go about introducing them one by one and bringing them on stage. But listening to their bios, even the short version that we have to read for each man at the event, it just hit me how involved our Catholic Church is in the community at large, volunteering for different things at St. Joseph Hospital, at, you know, St. Vincent de Paul, and all the different, some of them I had never heard of before, but they're very good organizations that are doing good, you know, the Catholic Worker, all the different things. They're going to the jail and doing jail ministry. I mean, I was so impressed that these men have jobs, have their families, and they're still volunteering to do outreach to the poor, to the needy, to the, you know, the ones who still need to see and experience Christ. And they are doing that to the community, unbeknownst to all of us, a lot of us, that we don't know this. We only hear things about the church from the news, and it's not always good.
Lately, it's been pretty bad.
Yeah. So this was very, it just really hit my heart, and I said, this is very important thing to have done. And the camaraderie of other men from other parishes seeing what another parish does and meeting those men, it is just so, they all are just excited to be there. All of the reasons that they gave us for not wanting to be nominated disappear.
Yeah.
And they say, whoa, it was just so worth it. They get the same feelings, I think, that I got, that it's just overwhelming how involved our church is, that we may not be knowledgeable about just going to church on Sunday.
When we think about the body of Christ, that we are now the hands and feet of Jesus, we see this in the Catholic Man of the Year, and this is what you were describing.
Yes.
I remember as well hearing all these different bios, and they're all in short succession, but it's almost like a resume of each man that's read, and it's, wow, all these different things, and they're all happening here in the Diocese of Orange.
Yes.
This is incredible that we're doing all this stuff. Jesus Christ is alive and well, and just did these 25 or 30 men that are here that we're celebrating with 300 people yeah. around them.
But, and it's not
wow.
just the men themselves that come. They have, you know, maybe 10 people from their parish to support them.
Yeah.
They hear that.
Yeah.
They hear all of this. It's inspiring to them. And a lot of these men go back and they, I thought I was doing a lot. Wow, I could be doing more even. And it's unbelievable for someone that was nominated for Man of the Year to say he should be doing more, because to me, they're all such great men, but they get inspired hearing each other's story,
and they're
too.
Simple stories. We were talking
it's
about
it's just one... to talk about a building of the church as a whole, not just your own parish. That's why I feel it's such an evangelization moment for parishes to participate in.
We were talking about how, again, this is built up by all these small little acts that these men do repeatedly over time.
Yeah.
And we were talking during the break about one that stood out. Tell me a little bit more about him.
Okay. It was Robert Hanna, and he was nominated. I think he was nominated by Catholic Charities. That's usually a lot of women, but there are some men that are involved too. But I remember so vividly his response and the reason that kept him going. He was so involved with his family and wanting the Catholic faith. And really it was the following year when he got up, because he passed away and wasn't able to give come the next year, but one of his daughters did. But she read that he literally wrote letters to all of his children, and the letters all said, above all, never leave your faith. And he just gave them all kinds of things to be, you know, like a fatherly advice, but he said, never, never leave the church. And it's just was so touching to me that he thought of that. Even though he did lots for others, he really was concerned not to lose his family and all of that. He wanted them to always remain faithful.
One of the things that's always struck me about St. Joseph, and we mentioned it a little bit at the beginning of this program, is that there is no words that St. Joseph has quoted in Scripture, yet he is held up as the epitome of his faith. And it kind of comes down to the phraseology that's used in James about, you say you have faith, you can tell me you have faith with your words, and I by my actions will show you my faith.
Yes.
And these are men.
And who faith have, without works is dead. I like
and
that.
And these are men who have great faith demonstrated in their works.
Yes.
And it's not, as you said, you don't do works to get to heaven. Only Christ can bring you to heaven. But out of an appreciation, a devotion, a love, a response to Christ, we live out our lives seeking, constantly seeking, how can we bring a little of that love that God has given to us to the people around us? And these men find ways of doing that. Joseph, therefore, demonstrated to everyone, including his son,
yes.
what it was to live out the faith and to live it out with diligence and love, but without necessarily having to utter a word. It kind of reminds me as well of the line attributed to St. Francis, should preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words.
Right.
And this event that is sponsored every year by the Diocese of Orange and St. Joseph Catholic Radio, St. Joseph Evangelization Network now, is a great reminder of that theme of St. Joseph, that our lives are a testimony to our faith. And as you put it, that man that you just were talking about before he died
mm-hmm.
was so important that his children don't miss the message.
Yes.
That
yes.
all this stuff I've been doing all my life has been geared to accomplish one thing, and that is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with my words and especially with mm-hmm. my deeds. And these are men who do that.
Yeah, and another remark I heard from a daughter and a son that of a person that was nominated, and the nominee was explaining to me what they said. They said, gosh, Dad, we really never realized how much you did. And that's speaking on another note, reminds us not to forget to include our kids in what we do. And sometimes that's something that always stands out in a judge's mind as they read that the father not only is involved with, say, the church fiesta or this or that, he gets his kids there and they help out. And so at an early age, they learn hands-on what to do to help out the community, you know, through their Catholic Christian community. When it needs help, you do it. You raise money. You're not raising money for yourself. You're raising money for the church so it can do other things for the poor or the needy that come to it.
So for everyone who's listening who has not yet nominated somebody in the Diocese of Orange, they should immediately go to www.stjosephradio.net, and that's St. Joseph Radio, all spelled out, SaintJosephRadio.net. Go to the pull-down menu that has Catholic Man of the Year and get the information on it.
Yes,
and
definitely.
And then run, don't walk, to your parish and have a set up an appointment to talk to your pastor, because that's step number two.
Yes,
is
yes,
once
yes.
you get aware of the material, is to have a conversation with your pastor to talk about how the parish can participate in honoring someone from their parish, to not only give honor, but also to give encouragement to men in general about what they can do. Because it is wonderfully encouraging to know that the types of things that this man is doing, well, other people are doing too.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they're all encouraged. They're all being given accolades for what they're doing. To talk to the pastor about it and to get that information. So stjosephradio.net, the applications are due by March 9th. So you've got about a month or so from when this is being broadcast to be able to get that information in and to have a little bit of time to spare. So if there's any mop-up that needs to happen, they can do it before the March 9th deadline. And then mark on the calendar March 24th of 2019 to come to the Anaheim Marriott Suites and have dinner with all these men and their supporters to celebrate a form of masculinity that I think the church needs to embrace more completely and deeply,
yes.
especially during this time of great consternation in our world.
Yes, I would like to add one thing too, Rick, and that is that the parishes would consider inviting some of their youth and young adults, maybe even getting an extra table to give their youth and young adults, because they need to hear these stories of the men in their parish and the men in other parishes so that they know it's not something that you just do when you're young or whatever, because it's a confirmation project, so I've got to do something for the church. But it's something that you live with. These men make it a part of their life. If your church isn't part of your life, if Christ isn't part of your life, it's not going to mean anything. It's got to be just something that you just live out every day. And this is a perfect, perfect evangelization moment to show them what it's like to hear these men's stories.
If they would like to get more information other than the website, they can go to 714-744-0336 or 636-446-6000. 636-446-6000. Sheila Weingessner, I'm glad to see you back again and still working strong with St. Joseph Radio and Catholic Man of the Year. Let's end in a word of prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, we thank you for giving us St. Joseph as an example for us all. We thank you for giving us men who so well imitate St. Joseph's virtues that we are empowered to celebrate them. Help us to have a good celebration coming up. Help us to reach many people so that they can nominate many more. And help us all to encourage our men in general to love you more completely and deeply by living out their faith in the little actions of their lives. Glory be to the Father,
Father
and to the Son,
and to
the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning,
is now,
and ever shall be.
World without end. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today has been Sheila Beingessner from St. Joseph Radio and Catholic Man of the Year. If you would like to hear this again, you can go to hear our podcast at occatholic.com and pull down the appropriate tab, and you can hear this and share it with someone else. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we'll see you again next week.
Are you looking for for relevant ways to respond to modern cultural challenges like gender ideology, the Me Too movement, feminism, and the constant masculine critique? This is Timory Millington. Listen to my show, Trending with Timory, as I'm joined by regular guests who defend what the Catholic Church teaches about sexuality and family. Join me Sunday afternoons on Relevant Radio or catch all the episodes at radiotrending.com.